This is week two of the Sports Radio Jacks. This week, we're harder, better, faster, stronger, and coming to you live with even more Jimmy Mangos. So let's go. Welcome to Sports Radio Jacks. Coming up over the next 60 minutes, Carmelo Anthony, trade deadlines, Thomas Cabrera, Blake Griffin, Miguel Cabrera, and Miloš Raonic. You can listen to us live on CentennialOnDemand.com/Centennial-Internet-Radio or download the podcast at Centennial Internet Radio. I'm Josh Lewinberg, and I'm joined, as always, by Aaron Karolnik
and
Jimmy Mangos.
Hey there.
Jimmy!
What's up?
How's it going?
Great, how are you?
Not too bad. AK, how goes it?
Goes very well, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing
just
okay.
Just asking that,
doing
okay?
Okay?
Doing fine.
Busy week this week, eh? Busy day.
Very busy week.
Lots going down.
Tons, as we speak.
I just want to take a quick moment to give a shout-out, if I can, if I may.
May.
So I'd like to give a shout-out to the lovely and moderately talented ladies of That's What She Said. For those of you who aren't familiar with That's What She
Said.
It's the good job, Jimbo. It's the girl talk program that comes on right before ours, and it's a must listen for all those women who hate men and all those men who want to know why they're not good enough for their girlfriends. I listened to it the other day. I got 5 minutes in, and I learned very quickly that these girls refuse to date short guys, guys with small hands, and guys that don't pay for them on the first date.
How dare them?
So apparently the entire premise of this show is to talk the general public out of dating me.
Yeah.
Who needs them anyways? You're better than those girls.
What am I doing wrong, Jimbo? True.
You're doing nothing wrong. You're absolutely fine.
That's what I'm saying.
You're gorgeous.
So, I mean, nonetheless, I'm happy to plug this program. I mean, maybe we can increase our female audience a little bit. Right now, it's consisting entirely of my mother and Lauren Millett. Maybe Lauren Millett, if we're lucky. Ooh.
Hello, Mrs. Lewinberg.
Hi, Lewinberg's daughter.
Oh, Jimmy.
Rachel.
So, oh, Rachel.
Big
okay.
Shout out to Rachel.
Okay. Shout out to Rachel Lewinberg.
Rachel Lewinberg, all right.
So, yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Fine program.
Really?
Finest.
Never heard it once before.
Really?
What's it about?
You should. Well, it's girl talk.
And they talked about short guys last show.
Small hands.
A little bit, yeah.
What do they like, though? Did they mention what they liked?
No. It doesn't sound like they like much of anything.
No.
Anyway.
All right, moving on.
Carmelo Anthony, anyone? You want to talk some Melo?
Hello.
You want to talk some Melo? So, to recap, it was, what was it, Monday night this went down?
It was Monday.
Carmelo Anthony finally traded to the Knicks along with Chauncey Billups, Sheldon Williams, former New York Knick Ronaldo Bulkman.
He's back, baby.
And Corey Brewer. Going to the Nuggets is
Danilo
Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Raymond Felton, and Timofey Mozgov. Going to the Wolves, Anthony Randolph, and Eddie Curry and his fat suit.
It's an expiring contract.
So, what do you think of the Knicks haul here? Did they get enough here?
I certainly think in the short term that's a very good move for the Knicks, but in the long term they're going to have some issues with their flexibility under the salary cap. I think in terms of the price the Knicks paid for Carmelo with Raymond Felton being signed this past offseason. I think his numbers were inflated a lot by Mike D'Antoni's heavily offensive system. And Wilson Chandler is also a free agent this coming offseason. So who knows if the Knicks were even going to re-sign him. But I think with the new CBA coming in 2012, New York might have some issues formulating a team around Carmelo and Amari, who both could be max contract players. So I'd be worrying about their flexibility more so than anything.
The first thing I did when I heard about this trade is I started thinking about the Knicks' depth chart. Who else do they have? And I mean, really, Corey Brewer is a nice piece. He'll come off the bench, but this team is still very thin up front. I'm thinking that it's very similar to the Orlando Magic at this point. You got Amari Stoudemire, similar to Dwight Howard, and then what else do you have around him? I guess Turiaf, if he stays healthy, could play a part in the front court, perhaps. You're making a face here.
Yeah, Ronny Turiaf is
not a fan of Ronny.
No, he's the Marion Gabrick of the NBA. Minus being
Gabrick,
good.
Wow,
Jimbo, what did you think of the trade?
Well, I kind of think, do you think it was a desperation move? I kind of feel it could go either way, but I felt like, I think they were better from last season from not signing LeBron James. So I felt like they wanted to do something to get, you know, to be on top of the East. So, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to work with them there. I like Chauncey Billups, but Carmelo Anthony, he's just the guy's a hog, man. Like, I don't see it working out. Can he still play defense? That's the question. Can he still play defense?
That's what I would be concerned with most, the coexistence of Amari and Carmelo on the offensive end. Obviously, defensively, neither of them are defensive player of the year candidates on their own. And together, they might be quite the liability. And the New York system isn't really conducive to good defense anyways. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these two work together, both offensively and defensively.
Well, feeding off what Jimmy Mangos was saying, I absolutely think it was a desperation move. I mean, I'm very, very confident, regardless of what was being said over the last few weeks, that Carmelo would have ended up in New York anyway as a free agent in the offseason, regardless of whether or not there's a lockout. Whenever he had the opportunity, he would have been in New York. And I mean, conspiracy theories aside, I guess, but generally I like to assume that whatever I'm being told, there's a bit of BS behind it. And over the last month, there's been a lot of posturing on both sides, including from the New Jersey Nets as well. So I just want to go back a little bit to our good friend Mikhail Prokhorov and basically how everything started a month ago in my mind that led to this trade the other day. Can we hear Mikhail Prokhorov?
We cannot.
We cannot?
I think we lost him.
Well, yeah.
We'll get him back.
He's got the day off. He's a busy man.
Very busy. Russian billionaires don't have time for small-time college radio stations, I take it.
Well, basically what he said was he wasn't happy with Carmelo. Was not happy indeed.
It's a good accent, by the way.
No, thank you.
Beautiful.
Basically, by New Jersey backing out or supposedly backing out of this trade, I think they're just saving face. It was quite obvious that Carmelo was not willing to sign with the Nets, sign an extension with the Nets anyways. He made it very clear on numerous occasions that it was the Knicks that he was after, that he wanted to be traded to the Knicks. Then Carmelo comes out and says that if he's not traded by the end of the year, that he'd consider signing an extension with the Nuggets, which I don't believe for a second. Clearly, he wants this extension because if there's a stoppage in play at the end of the season, he wants to be traded.
Yeah, absolutely.
He wants the extension, but he wants it with the Knicks. So by calling the bluff, basically, and by saying that we'll stay with the Nuggets, he kind of put some pressure on the Knicks. Step in Isaiah Thomas, who may or may not have had a lot to do with this trade. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd certainly be. I know James Dolan is an ardent Isaiah Thomas supporter, and that's obviously worrisome from any vantage point because Isaiah has a notorious history of poor management, to say the least. And but I'd also like to say that Masai Ujiri, the former Toronto Raptors assistant general manager, I think he did a really good job of working the Knicks against the Nets and to ultimately come out with the best offer that was on the table, which I think he ultimately received for Carmelo. And when you have an asset like Carmelo, who's pretty much made it explicitly clear that he's not going to sign an extension, or maybe he postures and makes it seem like he will, but I think ultimately they did very well in extracting as much value for him as they could. And I think,
wait a minute.
He did a very well.
Don't
very
you think
job.
Maybe that the Nets are maybe saving something so they can get a bigger piece? Maybe like a
Darren Williams?
Maybe, Darren Williams.
You know, I heard some rumors about that. So.
There's Twitter has been abuzz about a potential Darren Williams.
Breaking news.
Really? New Jersey.
Wow. That's jaw-dropping.
I just want to say a few words about the situation with Carmelo Anthony. Really, I am not happy with the way how this deal has gone until now.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. I'm not happy.
Not happy.
I think now he might be happy with Darren Williams. Happy with Darren Williams?
I think Mikhail's delighted to have talent of Darren Williams' ilk. But at the same time, New Jersey gave up a lot. They gave up Devin Harris, Derek Favors, and two future first-rounders to get Darren, but a Darren-Brooke Lopez tandem is certainly going to be a force in the East for years to come.
After swinging for the fences with LeBron James in the summer, Mikhail went out. He tried to sell the Nets to LeBron. After failing to get Carmelo now, was this Darren Williams move necessary for the Nets?
I think it was just Prokhorov was so desperate to get a face of the franchise type player, whether it be LeBron or Carmelo or eventually Darren Williams, settles in the end. But I think, certainly desperation has something to do with the Nets. The Nets are moving to Brooklyn, and they want the face of the franchise player in their move. So I think certainly you could
attribute it to desperation. So what's going on with Utah, you think? What direction do you think they're going now?
Oh, they're in trouble.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Big trouble.
So what were they thinking? To give away Deron Williams?
Well, I think
franchise
that,
player.
I think you look at the Cleveland and Toronto in the past few years with Chris Bosh leaving Toronto and LeBron leaving Cleveland. At least teams like Denver and Utah were able to salvage some assets, unlike Cleveland and Toronto, who are cellar dwellers now in the NBA. So I think you'll see that these teams will be out the next two, three seasons than Toronto and Cleveland will be.
But why give away a guy like Deron Williams? How old is he? Can be over 25 or something. Right?
Yeah, he's, yeah. But I think it was
had to
much
be some problems in the.
Oh, absolutely.
There was definitely problems, and I hate to say this yet again, but everything comes back to LeBron James, and everything comes down to the summer of 2010. These days now, especially with Carmelo leaving and Chris Paul and Deron Williams making noise in their respective cities, every team is looking to save face just in case their free agents bolt in the next couple of years. You're going to see it with Dwight Howard in Orlando, too. You've already seen it a little bit. They made a couple seemingly desperate trades this year to shore up their roster.
Can you say maybe these players are spoiled these days? Since
maybe a little spoiled.
Yeah.
Maybe a little spoiled. NBA trade deadline tomorrow, February 24th.
Beautiful.
Are we going to see more trades go down in the next
I hope so. For my Chicago Bulls, we need a freaking shooting guard, man, and I heard rumors that possibly O.J. Mayo could come, but
maybe Courtney Lee?
Maybe, but I'd rather have O.J. Mayo. I think he worked fine with Derrick Rose and the rest of the crew there, but I don't know. Even though if they don't get Mayo back, they'd still get Noah tonight, which is a big plus, but we'll see. I still think the Bulls can win the championship, but other than the Bulls, I think Atlanta maybe needs some pieces.
A point guard or a center for the Hawks would be huge, especially because they're on that cusp in the East. Yeah. They're not quite at the level of a Miami, a Boston, even New York now has put themselves ahead of Atlanta, in my opinion. But there's definitely some names on the market. Devin Harris is gone now, but there's still the Portland duo, Marcus Camby, who may be headed to the Knicks.
It's a rumor.
So I'm hearing.
It's a rumor.
There's Andre Miller available as well. So if Atlanta could
Andre
get a point guard.
How's this guy, 40 years old now? Andre Miller?
Plays like he's 50. But
hey, remember last year?
He's still a solid.
He had a 52-point night last year.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Of course.
Wow.
It's a great day, but I'd certainly be interested to see if the Knicks could acquire a guy like Camby, a former Defensive Player of the Year, pretty solid rock in the middle, could grab a lot of rebounds, which is certainly going to be necessary with all these guys jacking up shots in New York. But I'd also be interested to see if Orlando can actually acquire Zach Randolph, who's rumored to be on the block. There's a rumored Jason Richardson for Zach Randolph trade in the works, and if Zach Randolph went to Orlando, that would be a pretty formidable front court with Randolph and Howard. That'd be pretty solid.
So the first round matchup as of now looks like it will be the Magic against the Knicks.
Oh, that'll be good.
That would be
Amari
epic.
Versus Dwight.
Epic.
Probably the best first round matchup you've seen in a
Brandon
long time.
Brandon Bass versus Roni Turiaf.
How about Ronaldo Balkman? He's back. He was drafted by the Knicks in 2005.
Balkman.
Ronaldo Balkman from Southern Illinois, I believe.
A couple other trades going down today. Reportedly, Troy Murphy of the Nets. So some more moves for Prokhorov. Going to the Warriors, going back to the Warriors, his former team, for Brandon Wright and Dan Gadzirich. Big move for the Warriors, who they seem like they've been on the cusp recently. They've been playing better.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we have debates about Monte Ellis versus Steph Curry all the time, but I think, the Warriors have a lot of young talent. That's a team to be on the lookout in the next few years.
It's a team that's always been known as being a little bit soft, but with Biedrinch, David Lee, Murphy in the front court.
Ekpe Udo.
They've been playing better defense of late, too. So that's a team to watch in the second half.
They are no doubt one of the most exciting teams to watch as well.
Yep.
Young talent.
Kings also reportedly send Carl Landry to the Hornets for Marcus Thornton. That could be a move maybe as insurance, just in case David West leaves in the offseason for the Hornets.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in today's day and age, the front court players are certainly very, very in high demand. And a guy like David West would certainly garner a lot of interest in the free agent market. So ensuring themselves against that is essential for New Orleans.
Now, if you thought the Carmelo Anthony trade took a while to go down, what was that, a few months? Maybe a few months?
Too long. Seemed like years.
Cabrera finally gets traded this week from the Leafs. Yeah. It seems like that's been going on forever.
Oh, yeah, at least 5 years, it seems. Every month there's a new Thomas Cabrera trade rumor out there. I'm glad that we're finally done with that whole saga.
So to give some background, on Friday, the Leafs trade Cabrera to the Bruins for Joe Colburn and Boston's first-round pick. Not the Leafs' first-round pick back, which I know a lot of fans wanted to see, but Brian Burke is no Brian Colangelo. He can't fix his mistakes so easily like that.
No, definitely not.
What do you think about the trade? Was it time for Cabrera to move on?
I think the Leafs would have loved to keep Cabrillet for as long as he's playing, but in reality, with Dion Phaneuf signed for long-term dollars, and they've got guys like Mike Komisarek, it's just really to pay Thomas Cabrillet $6 million a year with all their money tied up in defense, especially with the salary cap of the NHL. So I think it's just certainly the Leafs got some younger, and it's just a time for Cabrillet to move on.
Sorry if I interrupt you for a second.
Please do, Jimmy.
Please.
I'm just curious to know, since I don't watch hockey as much as I used to, what's so special about Thomas Cabrillet? Like, I never hear his name anywhere. I don't see like his stats wise. He's a great player, but
listen, he is what he is. I mean, he's not great defensively, which is kind of ironic considering the position in which he plays. But he's great on the power play, and he had some good years with the Leafs. I mean, he hasn't been as great the last few years, but the Leafs haven't been so great in the last few years. And he's the type of player that's going to excel on a team that fits his style of play. The Leafs made the playoffs the first 6 years that Cabrillet was with the team. He's been with the team for 12 years. So I think he still has a significant place in the history of the team.
Absolutely.
Second in defenseman points behind Salmon.
He's been one of the mainstays in this generation of Leaf fans, of the Leafs as well. And you know, pretty much having a puck-moving defenseman, a guy who can quarterback a power play like Thomas Cabrillet, is a rare breed in the NHL, and his value is going to be certainly shown. Leaving the Leaves, it's going to be
is in his age an issue as of now? Isn't he kind of old now? How's the guy? He's been around, what, 15 years, is it?
12 seasons.
12 seasons.
Okay. So he's around,
but,
what, 35?
Yeah, he's a free agent at the end of the year, and I'm sure he'll get paid. So
how dangerous will Cabrillet and Chara be on that Bruins power play?
I would not want to be an opposing goaltender facing those Cabrillet to Chara one-timers. But, yeah, I think the Bruins are certainly a team to watch in the East. They're certainly one of the favorites now up there with Philly. And they're going to be a force in the playoffs.
Well, the Washington Capitals, how are they doing?
Not the best.
Really? No,
not great. Their offense has struggled all season.
Last year they finished first, so I just figured they'd be at the top of the league. But
Boston has Tim Thomas having a legendary season, one of the all-time best for a goalie. And Tim Thomas is 36 years old. You may as well make a run at the Cup now, if ever. You got a guy who's having a legendary season like Thomas. You may as well make a push when all the dominoes are in place.
I might watch the playoffs this season, see what's going on.
Oh, I hope so. NHL playoffs, nothing like that.
Yeah. Well, the goal's to go.
He's pretty sweet on you.
He is?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy's been watching you. You're just Jimmy's type.
Ah, really?
Jimmy's new in town. Jimmy doesn't really know anyone.
Oh, well, I'd like to get to know.
Jimmy would like to get to know you.
Jimmy would like to get to know you.
That's one of the greatest episodes of Seinfeld.
Can never have enough Seinfeld references.
No,
or
never.
Jimmy Mangos references, for that matter.
Very true.
Jimmy's pretty sweet on you.
Yes, he is, ladies. Yes, he is.
A few other trades going down in the NHL this week. Sens trade Brian Elliott to the Avs for Craig Anderson. Why? Ugh. What's the point of this?
Two bad goalies. But I think I think a change of scenery will do both those guys well. Anderson was great last year for the Avs. They made the playoffs last year. Anderson was great.
Shout out the Leafs the other day.
Oh, yeah. I was at that game. Probably the worst game of hockey ever played. Extraordinarily boring watching two minor league teams play on a Saturday night. But, yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Anderson plays out string in Ottawa, as they are an atrocious team right now.
Blues trade Eric Johnson to the Avs for Chris Stewart, Kevin Shattenkirk, and a pick. Did Colorado Shattenkirk the bed once again?
Shattenkirk the bed. I don't know. Eric Johnson was the first overall pick in 2006 by St. Louis. But anytime you're getting a power forward like Chris Stewart, a guy who's shown a knack around the net for putting in goals like few around the league can, especially a young asset like that too, and a guy like Shattenkirk who is, many have compared him to a young Thomas Cabrillet, a guy who can move the puck very well and run a power play. I would certainly say St. Louis made out very well with that trade.
Blues and Avs played each other last night, and Johnson, Chris Stewart, both scoring goals.
Yeah.
Pens trade Alex Goligoski to the Stars for Matt Niskanen. Winner of that trade?
I think it's a little early to say a winner of that trade, but again, like you can see the value that puck-moving defensemen have in this league. Alex Goligoski is another guy in the Thomas Cabrillet-type mold of power play quarterback, and while James Neal certainly is a young forward with a lot of potential, and he's fulfilled some of that potential this year, I think certainly say Pittsburgh made up pretty well with that trade, getting Neil and Niskanen, who's also a pretty solid defenseman in his own right.
The NHL trade deadline is on Monday, February 20th. Is Brian Burke done with the Leafs and the rebuilding project, or will there be more from Mr. Burke?
Well, I certainly think it's possible that Clark McCovey, and as a Leafs fan, I would certainly not be opposed to that happening, as I think he might be playing a little over his head. But that being said, he wants a larger contract than Brian Burke's willing to offer. But then again, Brian Burke gave Colby Armstrong 3 years, $9 million, $3 million a year, and Clark MacArthur wants the same contract as Colby Armstrong got. I see no reason why MacArthur's
Colby
not deserving.
Hey, Armstrong's the guy that we saw last week, isn't it, at the ACC? Remember? The guy that's sitting at the media room?
That was not Colby Armstrong.
Wasn't it?
No.
Jimmy's been watching you. You're just Jimmy's type.
Is Colby Armstrong just your type, Jimmy?
Come on, you know I don't roll that way, Josh.
That's not what I hear, Jimmy.
What else are you expecting from the NHL trade deadline this or next week, AK?
It's going to be an interesting day. We've seen a lot of trades already go down, some big names moving on, but every year people are worried that it won't be as busy a day as is advertised on TSN and Sportsnet, but we always see a flurry of moves at the end anyway. So I am very interested to see what transpires in the coming week.
Which deadline are you most looking forward to, NHL or NBA?
Oh, it seems there's a lot of interesting things coming to the NBA these days. There's a big arms race going down in the Eastern Conference, so I'm a little more intrigued with the NBA at this point than the NHL trade deadline.
Now, last week we talked about the New Jersey Devils as one, if not the hottest teams in the NHL.
9 points out.
Since then, the Calgary Flames have been making some noise. Actually, they've been making some noise for quite some time, quietly, very quietly in the West. Is this team for real?
It's funny because they pretty much have the same nucleus as the team that was struggling so much earlier on in the season. It's just that they seem to turn their season around. Guys like Brendan Morrison and Curtis Glencross, your boy Curtis Glencross, and Alex Tanguay. These guys are just having great seasons that really weren't expected of them after the struggles of early. But I think Calgary's certainly in the market for a defenseman as well. They're a little thin on the blue line, so you could see Calgary adding a piece at the trade deadline as well.
They went down to the Thomas Cabrelle and the Bruins last night, but they are 13-3-3 in the last 19 games, are the Calgary Flames. They now have 70 points in the very, very crowded logjam that is the Western Conference. They are in a three-way tie right now in fifth, and they're only 2 points ahead of four teams that are tied for, I guess, 11th place, really. Dallas in 11th is 2 points behind Minnesota, who's in fifth. Do they finish at the top of that logjam or the bottom at the end of the season?
I would certainly expect Calgary to be somewhere in the middle of that logjam and in the playoffs in some capacity, but it's really hard to say. One game could swing standings upside down in the West, so it's really really interesting to track in the next few weeks what happens in this.
There's a couple of young teams in the NHL that have caught my eye recently. Those are the Islanders and the Oilers, playing very well recently. The Islanders, yes. Especially.
Aren't they both in last place? Or
Not dead last. Well, what are the Oilers now?
Oh, I think the Oilers might be in last place in the West.
Yeah, they're in last. Come on. They suck.
Oilers have
I
won.
Even know that.
Oilers. Sorry, the Oilers.
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 That's a good one, actually.
I like
the
that.
The Oilers have lost won three of their last four. The Islanders have won six of their last nine. So they're making some noise. What are your thoughts?
I like the Islanders. They seem to have a very solid solid nucleus, especially with John Tavares making everyone look good on the island. But also beyond that, guys like Josh Bailey and Michael Grabner, who's been an absolute stud this year for his fantasy owners, really making some headway. And also bringing up guys like Travis Hamonic, former Team Canada member, junior Team Canada member, and Ty Wishart, who they got in the Dwayne Roloson trade. Those guys are making some noise, so... It's gonna be good to see the Islanders in the coming years. It's always good to have a team on the island having success.
Tavares in his last 12 games, Matt Molson 13 in his last 10, and Grabner 14 in his last 10.
Wow, amazing.
Which of these teams is going to be more dangerous heading down the stretch of the season?
I'd certainly say the Islanders have more NHL-ready talent than the Oilers do at this point, but the Oilers are a scary proposition for some teams too, because they're just playing out the string. You know, there's no pressure on them. Guys like Taylor Hall could have a very nice finishes to the season. I expect him to come close to 30 goals in the end, which is a very solid rookie campaign for
Which team's looking
Taylor.
Like they have a better future?
I have to go with the Oilers because I think Taylor Hall is a future superstar. I don't know if I think Tavares is of the same ilk, made of the same cloth as Taylor Hall in terms of his future, but Hall and Jordan Eberle and Magnus Pajarvi are certainly very, very solid building blocks for the future.
This makes for poor radio, but I absolutely agree with you.
I'm glad to hear it. Actually, I have some breaking news from Chris Paul's talk.
Let's hear it.
He writes, Utah traded D-Will, question mark. Then he uses the hashtags epic fail, not a good look, trippin', and come on, son.
Oh, very, very interesting.
So we know what some of the NBA reaction is to the Deron Williams trade already. Very interesting to see.
Could this possibly mean that Paul may be out at some point?
I think it means that the Nets are a joke and no one wants to go to the Nets. And I think Chris Paul feels bad for his boy.
I think it's more speaking to Utah's trading a guy like Deron Williams, part of their franchise player. I think they're pretty much conceding this year in terms of the playoffs for Utah. But then again, the Nets are a pretty big joke at this point, too. So very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. That can only mean one thing.
Where the hell did you get that music?
I think it's the Wiggles.
What does that say, Mango?
The Wiggles.
Jesus Christ, that's embarrassing.
Mango's Minute, ladies and gentlemen. For those who were not with us last week, the Mango's Minute is 60 seconds in which our boy Jimmy Mango's...
That's it? Only 60 seconds, I guess?
60 seconds. Use them wisely, my friend.
All right.
And in case you weren't with us last week, in case you don't know what you're missing, previously on the Mango's Minute...
At least make yourself look respectable. What happened? The rest of the part.
Oh, we have it. Let's just cue it up here.
Is those people that come in who don't shower, who smell like shit, and just like, you know, it just...
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, well...
You got a lot to live up to, Jimbo, so take it away.
All right, in this minute, I want to talk about the ugly couples that I see every now and then wherever I go, whether it be in the mall, a club, bar, school, or even on the streets. By ugly couple, I mean hot girls with, you know, ugly guys. I could care less about an ugly girl, seriously. But so many times, I see these really good-looking girls with these brutal-looking guys that, you know, that you and her know that she can do much better than that son of a bitch. I mean... Me and my friend sometimes look at each other and say, what the hell is the world coming to, man? Like, what the f*** does this bitch see in a f***ing guy like that? You gotta give the guy props, though. If you see an ugly guy dating a hot girl, but for the girl's perspective, like, I just want to ask her, sweetheart, shame on you. What the hell is your problem? Isn't there other good-looking guys for you that you can date, maybe? Don't give me the, oh, he's a nice guy, I don't care about looks. No, that's bullshit. There's two reasons in which I think a girl would date a guy who looks like shit. Number one, he must be rich. Number two, the bitch is insecure about herself, really insecure, meaning that she had a bad past experience in her life where a guy cheated on her and kept her humble. So she feels that by dating an ugly mofo will reassure her that the ugly dude will not cheat on her because obviously he looks like shit and there's no other girl in the world that would be... that would, in her right mind, date a guy like that. So anyways, I'm not surprised these days that, you know, I'd see a girl and an ugly guy. I wouldn't be surprised if I see a girl one day walking down the street, holding hands with a f***ing chimpanzee and saying, oh, he gets me. I love him. No, f*** that shit. If I were the girl's father, like seriously, and I saw her bring home an ugly dude like that, I'd say, listen, sweetheart, put the trash... back into the garbage, and then smack her upside the head. And that's all I gotta say about that. Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Well, that was interesting.
Very, very interesting, yeah.
So we're fired, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Ted will come and escort us out of the building very shortly.
Hey, I didn't say anything wrong. I was just giving
you
my
didn't say anything right.
I was giving my own opinion about something, and that's how.
Oh, you know, boy.
I'm sure I have a lot of people that agree with me. You know?
I hope the CRTC has mercy on us in this case.
We'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, until Mangos is arrested, we'll continue on with our program as is.
Yeah, I'm still standing here, baby.
How about that NBA All-Star game?
It's quite the game. Very
competitive
game.
How about Rihanna?
Rihanna.
What does that have to do with the All-Star game?
Her performance at halftime?
Oh, I didn't see halftime. Oh, I PVR'd lucky. The game, so I fast-forwarded through halftime.
Oh, come on, man. You saw the most gorgeous... Well, in my opinion, I think
ooh,
she's...
I don't know about that.
Jimmy and I have had some discussions
have
in the past.
Have you seen that girl's legs and her body?
You could land a plane on that forehead, Jimmy.
Man, I don't know what you guys are smoking, but I think she's pretty hot.
With Rihanna's legs, she could probably run for 1,500 yards behind a solid offensive line in the NFL.
I like those nice, thick legs, man.
Like, I'm sure...
Jimmy's been watching you. You're just Jimmy's type.
Rihanna is just your type. Is that what
I'm
saying?
Not my type. I'm just saying, you got to give the girl credit. She looks good, right? So, hey, man. Yeah, she's got a nice body.
I'm sure Michael Turner was watching that All-Star game, and he was envious of Rihanna's monstrous legs. She's a beast.
Yeah,
beast.
You know what those legs are good for, right?
So we can agree that Rihanna's performance was controversial at best.
I don't even know why she had a microphone. I don't think she sang any part of her song. It was mostly her dancing and shaking her big legs around.
Hey, that's all I wanted to see. So,
what did you think about Kobe Bryant's performance?
Oh, I love watching. You gotta love watching Kobe. That dunk he had when LeBron was trying to challenge him, try to block the shot. Kobe giving him a little smack on the behind afterwards. That's certainly great to see. You gotta love Kobe.
That looked like a legit rivalry in an All-Star game. Oh, some real competitiveness.
Oh, absolutely. LeBron was. If LeBron showed that type of competitiveness in the playoffs with Cleveland last year, I think the Cavaliers might have an NBA title to their name. But LeBron was very, very serious about that All-Star game. It's great to watch.
I didn't watch the game that much, but
just Rihanna.
No, wait a minute. But I saw a bit of it, and I didn't like the fact that Rose was not getting the ball at the dribble, and LeBron was taking over the point guard duties. Kind of made me upset.
You didn't like the LeBron show?
No, I was wondering why Rose would be on the floor then if he's not used as a point guard.
Yeah, it's true. LeBron was just taking over that game. He just was trying to put the team on his back.
I think LeBron's got to relax a little bit. It's the All-Star game. Okay?
Oh, absolutely. He was playing as if it was game 7.
He was intense. He wanted to win that game.
Oh, well, he didn't. Kobe did.
He came close. Triple-double for LeBron. Kobe, what did Kobe have? 37 points?
37, 14 rebounds. Yeah, LeBron's second ever triple-double in an All-Star game.
Behind MJ.
MJ.
And Kobe Bryant, of course, fourth MVP of the All-Star game, which ties Bob Pettit's record. Was the Kobe versus LeBron battle a preview of the NBA Finals?
Oh, I certainly hope so. I think that would be an amazing, amazing series if we were privileged enough to see it. But I'm sure Jimmy has something to chime in about. Maybe Chicago overtaking.
It might be a preview, but not until my Bulls have something to say about that. On a serious note, though, it's going to be a tough for Miami either way. I still don't think they can beat Boston or even Chicago. They need a little more contribution other than Wade and Bosch and LeBron. I think definitely those guys will wear down and will be demanded to play a lot of minutes in the playoffs, where they will just burn out of gas. The Lakers, however, they are struggling, no question. I think they can still hold in together wherever they... What are you guys laughing at? Like, seriously.
I thought we were talking about the All-Star game.
I'm still thinking about the Mangos
preview.
Minute.
I'm talking about the preview between you said...
Mango.
The Lakers and the Heat, you said. A preview. You said there might be a preview between the Lakers and Heat. Isn't that what you said? Bring out the music again.
I could listen to that all day, seriously. I could listen to you all day, too, so...
I was just making my point. You said there's a preview between Miami. That could be a preview between Miami and the Lakers. So
that's true.
So just going on that, and then you guys started laughing.
I'm sorry.
Kind of hurt my feelings.
That was very rude of us.
My sincere apologies,
Jimmy. Now I lost my train
Jimmy.
Of thought, and it's okay.
I hope you forgive me.
I forgive you guys. I'm a nice guy.
Can I give you a new train of thought that you might have an opinion on?
Okay.
How about the slam dunk competition? Can you call it a competition if it's rigged?
Come on. Obviously, Blake Griffin's playing at his home court in Los Angeles. No matter what happens, he's going to win.
So it was rigged. Was it or was it not rigged, Jimbo?
Yes, it was, because DeRozan should be in the finals instead of McGee.
Believe that?
I do.
AK, what do you think?
I don't think it was rigged. I think this was probably the best dunk competition we've had since the VC or...
But the dunk that...
2001, I think VC was dunk
on. No, 2000. 2000?
2000, yeah. I thought it was great. I think all the competitors threw down great dunks, and it was really exciting to watch. Although, as a Raptors fan, I would have loved to see DeMar in the finals. I think even Serge Ibaka might have been the guy who was overlooked with that free throw line dunk, which was, in my mind, the most impressive dunk of all of them. It was something that's never been done before.
I gotta say, I had some action on Blake Griffin, But as the gambling degenerate that I am,
yes,
I was seriously tempted on putting every cent that I own on Blake Griffin, which you could bet on. You could bet on it. And it was paying off not great. It was about 140.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. I don't know if I'd say rigged, but no. Did you believe for a second that Blake Griffin was not going to win this competition, well, regardless of what he did?
Yeah, especially with the fans voting in the finals. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion that Blake was going to win it. But I think if you saw the judges judging the final dunks, you might have had a different result.
Like, I don't understand how a guy can get 10 tries and still get, what, 50? You got 10 for his dunk?
Yeah, it's true. The NBA might have to address that. The multiple attempts, 2 minutes to do a dunk, maybe just give him 3 shots at a dunk or something.
The fans voted on the finals. They were going to vote for Blake regardless. And the man had a car and a choir brought in for his final dunk.
Yeah.
You think the NBA was not going to let this man make the finals, knowing that a choir of 30 people?
Oh, yeah, it was a big choir.
It was a big choir.
What was that about, anyways? How about that little Asian kid with the
They were off key.
The teddy bear.
Yes, that was a cute kid.
He looked like the teddy bear. That's what Charles Barkley said.
Yeah.
Same hairdo.
Well, DeMar DeRozan had something to say about the teddy bear and all the props that were used in the dunk competition. He said, "I'm a dunker. Dunk contests, you go out there and you dunk. I'm not into all the props and everything. I try to come out and do a creative dunk, do it, and go from there. My fans liked it. And you see the reaction that I got from a lot of people afterwards. If there's a dunk contest next year, I'll do it, but not no prop dunk contest." So aside from poor grammar, what did you get out of that?
Well, I think DeMar's a little bitter about the result of the dunk contest, and while it may be deserved, DeMar...
Oh, come on.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
that's all I could hear.
Pretty much.
I can see where he's going with that. I mean, he's an old school. He's got an old school mindset, and he wants to be creative. But I think in this era, especially, people love props, and the fact that you can jump over a car and be creative, that usually wins the crowd over nowadays.
Hood of a car, not in jump over the car. Jump over the hood of the car.
What I will say is, this is the very reason why I was as impressed as I was with JaVale McGee, because DeMar's right. It's you have to be creative. But a lot of the times you see props used that make the creativity look stupid. And I mean, that teddy bear dunk was a little bit too much. You go back a few years, Gerald Green and the cupcake. Creativity a lot of the time could come out looking pretty cheesy even. But McGee managed to be creative, I thought anyways, without being stupid. I thought the double dunk. The double nets.
Oh, amazing.
The three balls. I thought these were good ideas. I thought they were creative ideas, and I was impressed. Those are hard dunks.
Oh, JaVale's probably the only guy, maybe Dwight Howard out there too, who can execute any of those dunks. But yeah, JaVale McGee is an absolute freak. His arms are longer than seemingly anyone's in the world. It's just insane to see.
But he's not a flashy dunker. He's more into like tricks and whatnot, but he doesn't finish well on that dunk. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
so you thought DeRozan should have won?
I think he should have been in the finals, definitely. I think it would have been a better finals.
I thought a second dunk was fantastic. The first dunk.
The one with the scoop, right?
Yeah. The first dunk from behind the basket with the Amir Johnson pass. It was very reminiscent of Andre Iguodala, which I thought was better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, don't come out and talk about creativity and try to pull something off that we've seen before. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to come up with something new without being a little bit ridiculous, without coming out with a small child with a faux hawk and a teddy bear to put on the rim.
Yes.
But it can be done.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it absolutely can be done. But, as we said before, DeMar's a little bitter about the result. A little bitter. I don't really know why he came out and said he kind of made himself out to look like an idiot a little bit. But, you know, I think maybe it speaks to maybe an expansion of the finals, just in case there's some very good competition in the dunk contest.
You know what they should try next year for the slam dunk competition?
What should they try, Jimmy?
Instead of jumping over the car, maybe the car will be driving towards you in like 20 miles per hour. Then as that happens, the guy has to kind of time it and then dunk over the car in that situation.
Maybe they should jump over an airplane.
Why not? People want to see, you know, crazy stuff happen.
That would be very crazy. Very, very crazy.
To be clear, I stopped being serious like 30 seconds ago.
Yes, true.
All right, so first half, the unofficial NBA first half is in the books. The actual first half ended about a month ago, but we weren't here a month ago. So for the sake of argument, Let's hand out some hardware, shall we?
Yes.
Let's do it. Should.
First half defensive player of the year. AK, your pick.
I'll take Dwight Howard of the Orlando Magic.
Oh, going out on a limb there.
Yeah, not really, but I think it's pretty much pretty obvious that
he's
going to take it down.
Can't go wrong with that. I probably agree, too. He's won it back-to-back right now. I don't see any other player making a stride like Dwight Howard is this season. So, yes, I had to go with Dwight Howard as well.
For the sake of being a jerk, I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to go off the board a little bit. I'm going to say Tyson Chandler. The guy's been healthy this year, which is amazing on its own.
Yeah, very much
but
so.
What he's done for the Dallas defense has been big. They're allowing only 95 points a game this year, down from 99 last year. And he's been big for them, not just in the box score, but Dallas has had a great year. And the difference between last year and this year, especially when Dirk went down, has been their defense, and he's been the anchor of that defense. So I'd go Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, I like that pick. Tyson's really changed the defensive culture in Dallas. They've been notorious for being a run-and-gun team for years and years, and he's certainly been a big part of that of the change in philosophy there.
Now I'm going to hand it off to you again so you can go off on a limb for the second time in a row. Rookie of the year, who you got?
I'm going to go with Ed Davis.
that guy that plays for Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, I think
what's his
name?
Like
Blake something?
I don't know, yeah.
He's having a pretty solid
year. The guy
that
was at the dunk competition on Saturday?
Yeah.
Serge Ibaka?
Was it him? I think so, yeah. That guy. Yeah, that guy will win Rookie of the Year.
Blake Griffin.
All around
Blake
rookie
Griffin
of the year.
John, yes. How about John Wall?
John Wall's having a great year too. John Wall's numbers, I have them here somewhere. 15-4-9. He's 7th in the league in assists. Any other year that would be good for
Absolutely.
Rookie of the Year, no?
Ah, well, it's okay.
Blake Griffin 23-13-4. He's 11th in the league. Forget rookie rankings. We don't even rank these rookies among them their own kind anymore because they're that good.
Yeah.
11th in points, 4th in rebounds for Blake Griffin. Pretty good.
Blake Griffin is an absolute beast. That's all that needs to be said about Blake Griffin.
Sixth man of the year, an award that I don't particularly care for, but nonetheless.
I'll tell you who's going to win that this season.
Jimmy, please.
Who should have won it last season, and that guy is the Dallas Mavericks, Jason Terry.
The Jet!
Terry is averaging 18 points a game coming off the bench. He's been really reliable, and that's a huge reason why the Mavericks are second in the conference. He gives them a boost and it gets the fans on their feet. He also has had 20 points or more in his last 5 games. That's the kind of performance he would usually get from a starter, let alone a guy come off the bench. So yes, I would go with Jason Terry.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I agree with Jimmy Mangos.
What do you mean you can't believe it? Believe it.
Apocalypse Now.
2012, baby.
Yeah. I think a guy that's certainly who I would agree with Jimmy that Jason Terry will probably come out on top with sixth man. But I think a guy like Glenn Big Baby Davis has had a really good year for Boston with the encore like to KG, to Kendrick Perkins,
yeah,
to Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah, well, that team's
already
stacked anyways. So
it's true, but Big Baby is really good off the bench for them. He's averaging 11 points, 7 boards for Boston.
Yeah,
he's
a big baby.
That's your counter argument.
Exactly.
Okay.
Big Baby's definitely on the board. I also want to give some love to Jamal Crawford, who's having another very solid year for the Hawks. But yeah, I'd go with JT.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, most improved player. I think I know who you're choosing.
You know who I'm choosing?
Yeah. Why don't you lead
Let's
us
start
off,
with Jimmy.
Well, most of you probably will go with Kevin Love. But I have a man.
Who do you think I am, Giannis?
Oh, I know who you have. Okay. But I have the man from UCLA, Aaron Aflalo. I watched Aflalo during his career with the Pistons, and there was no question that he had huge upside to his game. But defensively, he was already becoming elite in my eyes. So, he's kind of a... I say you can kind of compare him to like a Shane Battier type of player in the way plays great defense. But his offense has improved as well. I think he's averaging, 18 points a game or something. But George Kyle has him under his wing, and he's been playing great basketball as of late. So, yes, Aaron Aflalo.
I do not agree with Jimmy Mangos. I hear your argument. It's a good one. He stepped up in the wake of all this Carmelo controversy this year. He's on the board for sure. AK?
We've talked about Kevin Love, and I think someone who doesn't receive nearly enough credit for his improved play this year is a guy like Michael Beasley, who was pretty much written off or dead by many NBA teams, traded for a second-round pick last offseason. This guy's had an excellent, excellent year when he's been in the lineup. I don't think necessarily he's going to win it. I think Kevin Love's probably the favorite there, even though he averaged a double-double last year, and it's really propped up his numbers this year still. But a guy like Michael Beasley should certainly receive some credit for his improved play this year.
My problem with this award is a lot of the time it's given to an individual whose improvement was seen coming a year in advance. And I mean, Kevin Love, there was no question. Given more minutes, this guy's going to step it up. His per 48 minutes stats have always been fantastic. So I'm not one for rewarding a guy like that in this case. I'm going Darrell Wright.
Oh, I love me some Doe Wright.
Doe Wright, he's been fantastic this year. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2.5 threes. That's up from 7-3-1 last year.
I like it.
He's been big.
Oh, he's been great for Golden State. But then again, you gotta factor in Golden State's a pretty high-tempo offense. And you know, whether or not Doe Wright would get those numbers on another team is another issue. But certainly
I don't think that matters, though. I mean, the reason why he didn't excel like this in Miami is simply because they played a half-court offense.
Yeah.
Maybe not anymore with LeBron, but when D. Wright was there, this was a slow team. And that's not his game. Right now, he's given the opportunity to excel, and he's doing it, and he's doing it well.
Yeah, he's really showing off his versatility. He's guarding bigger guys, guarding smaller guys for Golden State. And yeah, he's having a great year. I think certainly he should be a top contender for the award.
MVP, Jimmy Mangos.
Well, my heart says Derrick Rose, but my mind says Kevin Durant, just because the man is a heck of a player and is averaging, what, almost 30 points a game, which is pretty hard to do these days in the NBA. But I still would go with Derrick Rose just because look at the Bulls from last season to this season. And this season, they haven't had Boozer and Noel play together at all. So he's been carrying a chunk of load from that team all season long. But right now I'd have Durant first, Rose second, and then probably LeBron third.
Yeah.
I'm going Kevin Durant here. I mean, this was his award to win going into the season, and he hasn't lost it in my mind. Everything that was expected of this man, he has done this year. You expected a big improvement from OKC. They've jumped from eighth last year. They're now in position to have home court advantage in the playoffs. You expected him to lead the league in scoring. His average is down a little bit, but he's still 2 points ahead of second place Amari Stoudemire in the leaderboard. And I mean, he's beasting this year. And just the fact that Russell Westbrook is having a career year is no reason to discount what Kevin Durant means to that team and ultimately the league.
Well, I certainly hope you guys are right, as I did bet on Kevin Durant to win an MVP before the season began at 5-1. So I'm certainly hoping that comes to fruition. However, I do feel that Derrick Rose will ultimately be MVP. Talked about all the injuries that Chicago's endured this year with Boozer and with Joakim Noah, and Derrick Rose has just carried them through night after night with his exceptional play and improved outside shooting, which has been a big part of the team's turnaround, and not only his turnaround, but the team's turnaround as a whole. So I think right now Derrick Rose might take home the hardware.
And let's not forget that Noah makes his comeback tonight against the Raptors, so that would give the Bulls an extra boost and Noah's bigger chance to win that MVP title. So
yeah. Noah's going to win the MVP.
Noah, he's got a, well, you know what?
No, he's not.
No, okay. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I don't know. But yeah, Rose is definitely number two on that
list. It's going to be a battle down the stretch between Rose and Durant for MVP.
What about LeBron James?
I think so.
How about LeBron?
LeBron's in there too.
Yeah, I think, but again, the LeBron D. Wade, I think they'll might siphon votes off from each other.
What about Sonny Weems, man? Like, come on. Amir Johnson?
Crickets? You have a do you have crickets?
It's a joke.
Come on. Crickets?
Give me some laughs here, please.
There it is. Beautiful.
Anyway, from the NBA MVP to a perennial Major League Baseball MVP candidate, Miguel Cabrera is in the news again this week, and it's not good news. Not good news at all. On Wednesday night, Cabrera was arrested for DUI in Florida. His car engine was smoking at the side of the road, and he proceeded to take a swig of scotch in front of the officer as he was being arrested. Ballsy dude.
Oh yeah.
So, is this crisis mode right now for Miguel Cabrera? Has this reached a level where this is greater than baseball?
Maybe it's roid rage.
Well, let's not throw Miggy under the bus there.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, but Miguel Cabrera's dealt with alcoholism issues for many years now, and they're well documented. And it's obviously very unfortunate to hear him go off the path again. I certainly hope Miggy gets his life back in order, because when he's right, he is one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
The first thing everyone wants to do in a situation like this is look at things from a baseball perspective. Will this affect his ability to return to the lineup in 2019? and 11. Will this affect the Tigers? Will this affect his performance? But like I said, this has gotten to a point where this is above and beyond anything baseball related. This is serious. His career and, more importantly, his life is in jeopardy. He was in rehab for 3 months, I believe it was, in 2009. And he was looking to be back on track. And this is a serious relapse. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. It's a real shame to hear Cabrera's dealing with these issues again because, as I said, this is a guy who's one of the best players in baseball when he's right. But most importantly, for himself and for his family, he needs to get his life back in order. And if it means taking some time off from the game to get his life back in order, so be it.
According to Detroit Tigers manager Jim Leland, he states that Cabrera will be, in fact, be back with the team in April. And he says there will be no problem with Cabrera doing what he did last season.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to some more negative baseball news, especially if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Word out of St. Louis today, Adam Wainwright is probably heading for Tommy John surgery.
It's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy.
With the cloud of Albert Pujols hanging over their head all season, now losing one, if not their best pitcher, can this team still contend for playoffs?
I think St. Louis is some serious, serious trouble. Adam Wainwright's a guy who's a lock for 200-plus innings every year. Great ERA, great win total. Adam Wainwright's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And losing him, with Chris Carpenter still at the top of the rotation, Chris Carpenter's 36 years old, has a very checkered injury past. St. Louis is probably in the market for a starting pitcher, I would say.
How about some Canadian content right now?
CanCon.
Want to talk about Milosh a little bit?
Milosh!
Another game for Milosh!
Can never go wrong with a little Seinfeld, right? So, Milosh, over the weekend, lost to Andy Roddick. But, big but in this case, big asterisk to that loss. He looked impressive doing it, and he's been impressive over the last few weeks. He's been making some noise.
Milosh is the man. Actually, let me tell you a little story about my past connection with Milosh.
Please do.
I was growing up in Thornhill, there's a tennis club there called, actually it's in Richmond Hill, it's called Blackmore Tennis Club. It's where I honed my tennis skills back in the day, and it's actually where Milosh honed his tennis skills.
Oh, really?
So, yes, Milosh has followed in my path, and he's doing a little better in the tennis world than I
did. Hey, Josh, aren't you from Thornhill as well?
I am from Thornhill, so I'm proud of my boy, Milosh. Oh,
Milosh.
Listen, I'm not one for loving an athlete because of a locational connection that I may have with them. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, like, this guy's Canadian. You should love this guy. I'm not one for that mindset. Nonetheless, I have to say, what this guy can do for this country and the sport of tennis in the country, I got to take my hat off to him.
Oh, absolutely. I think, yeah, he could really push the sport to new levels. And the tennis is not getting nearly as much publicity as it would if we did have a prominent Canadian player like Milos Raonic, who's doing so well. You can already see it when his matches are being televised on Sportsnet, lots of viewers tuning in to see Milosh.
He's a fun kid to root for.
Before the tournament started, wasn't he ranked like 150th in the world? And now he's like, what, top 10 or something like that?
He's jumped 22 places in the last couple weeks, I guess it is. Setting a Canadian tennis record, he's ranked 37th right now.
Yeah, Milosh is making some serious waves in the tennis world.
I only saw 5 minutes of that game between him and Roddick, and I tell you, Roddick had the game like in hands. He was up, I think it was 7-6 or whatever. He had championship points.
Three championship points.
And this kid, Raonic, would not give up. He kept on fighting, and that shows the kid has a lot of heart.
One of the nicest things I've ever heard Roddick say was a backhanded compliment to Raonic, saying that, oh, well, this kid looks good, but still has a long ways to go, and continued on like that. Yeah. But hey, compliment's a compliment, right?
It is. Especially
publicity is publicity. Yeah. Either way, you get it.
It's coming from a guy like Andy Roddick, who's been a top 10 tennis player, men's tennis player for years and years and years. It's certainly meaningful. But yeah, Milosh is 20 years old. He's got a lot of time to develop, and he's improved so much in the past year. Who knows what he can do?
What happened to that chick, Marino girl? What happened to her? Heard she what? A stomach ulcer or something like that?
I cannot speak to.
Oh, Jimmy, always a wealth of knowledge you are. Where are you pulling these things from?
What happened to her? Why did she retire that match when she lost last week? Do you guys know?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
You guys
aware.
Don't like the women's tennis, do you?
Don't love it, no. Not a huge fan. No. Anyways, we have a 5-minute warning here. So, what do you say about playing a little game, Jimbo? You want to play a little game?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, well, I know you're a fan of Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, yes, I am.
So, we're going to let Bruno here explain this game to us. I'm going to pass it over to Bruno.
Oh, wow.
So let's go through some things that will be okay and not okay. If they're okay, just say, ach ja. If they're not okay, say, that's a nish nish.
Ach ja or nish nish. That's the name of the game, Jimbo. You understand? Are you ready to go?
Of course I do. It's going to be fun. All right.
Okay, props in the dunk competition. Ach ja or nish nish?
I'm going to go with ach ja.
Why is that?
Well, I the whole card idea and Blake Griffin putting his whole arm in the net. That was just awesome, man. And plus, it's kind of cheesy, but I know I like cheesy stuff like that. I like people who are creative, so even the one with the teddy bear on the rim, that was kind of cool, so I'd say ach ja.
Do you agree with that, AK?
Yeah, I go with ach ja. Anything Jimmy says.
Hey, you gotta say ach ja, not just yeah, all right?
I think you said ach ja.
Yeah. But okay.
Taking a swig of scotch in front of the cops. Ach ja or nish nish?
Well, personally,
oh no,
I had a bad day, whatever, and I didn't give a damn. I'd say an ach ja, but let's be reasonable here. It's obviously a nish nish, but...
Yeah, I think Miguel Cabrera was unleashing his inner Jimmy McNulty for all you Wire fans out there, and with that swig of scotch, although McNulty's more of a Jameson's man. But
I'd say more like, I don't think so.
It's probably a nish nish.
After the Mangos Minute, Jimmy's probably going to be arrested soon anyway. So the swig of scotch can't hurt him at this point.
Well, that's funny. I don't see any security guards outside.
He's been circling the building.
Huh? He's a tiny guy, but he's packing some serious heat.
Yeah.
Betting on the Oscars, ach ja or nish nish?
I could care less, so I'm going to go with nish nish on that.
Oh, I think Aaron's going to be placing some bets on the Oscars.
Absolutely. I'm really liking... what was it? King's Speech for Best Director. I think it's got some really good odds there. I think it's 2-1 for that. I will probably be placing a little wager to make it a little more interesting on Sunday night.
Shout out to my buddy Jordan Kribas, who's been relentlessly trying to get me to put money on the Oscars, but I've seen Social Network. I haven't seen any of these other things. I have no idea.
You need to see King's
I'm
Speech.
I'm not seeing King's Speech.
It's a good movie.
I don't like being told that it's a good movie.
You should watch the movie. Suggesting. You should watch the movie The Fighter. It's a great movie.
Yeah, Fighter is also really good.
I don't know. I'm stubborn like that. When I'm told that a movie is good and I
trust
have to
me.
See it.
Christian Bell is
when
phenomenal.
When do you see a
it.
Movie if you're
when
told,
I decide I want to see a movie.
But what would prompt you
it's
to
gotta
decide?
It's got to be a Josh movie. It's got to be something stupid.
Like
it's got to be something
Forky Romano?
That, yeah, it's got to be best movie ever.
Oh, really?
Forky Romano.
Wow. Okay.
You guys want some cookies? Moving on. Betting on whether or not Charlie Sheen will do jail time in 2011. Ach ja or nish nish?
That's a tough one. I'd say...
paying 2-1 if you think he's going to be going to jail in the next year.
You know what? Not this time around. Maybe in 2012, but I'm going to go with an ach ja on this one.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I hopefully he takes out John Cryer, his 2.5 Men co-star, if he's going to go to jail, if anything. But
I love that show.
I hate that show.
Oh, come on. Look at all the hot girls in that show.
I don't think I've ever seen a hot girl in that
Are
show.
Are you kidding me?
Charlie does well.
Charlie Sheen's girl that he brings that to his house?
It's a tired, high Charlie Sheen with the fat kid. No?
The fat kid, yeah.
Where are their
disgusting.
Hot girls?
I hate that kid.
You obviously don't watch his show.
I haven't watched the show
A lot
show
of good-looking cougars, but okay.
Maybe I'll give a chance.
You should.
Rihanna, ach ja or nish nish. I think we know the answer to this.
I'd say definitely ach ja for me.
And a definite niche niche.
Oh, niche niche indeed.
Explain why, Aaron. Why? Just for briefly,
well,
10 seconds.
I couldn't come close to handling someone of Rihanna's massive stature. She's just her legs. Her legs
she's
are just
got
too
the
big.
Nice big,
too big
hips, though.
Oh, nah. What's her name?
Yeah, Rihanna's. Is Drake and Rihanna an item? Is that what's happening
maybe.
There? Do you know
what about Chris Brown? Maybe he's back with her.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
She doesn't speak highly of her experience with Chris Brown.
No.
And last, but definitely not least, paying for the girl on a first date. And I guess that's written poorly because Jimmo might think that he's paying for something else on the first date.
Come on
so, okay,
now.
Picking up the bill
Wait
for a
minute.
Girl on the first date. Ach ja or nish nish?
I'm a gentleman, so definitely ach ja. You're giving me a bad name
gentleman.
Right here, but if I didn't like the girl, if she was someone I never don't have a future with, then I'd definitely say a nish nish. But I still take her back to the car.
Look at that. I was going to say it took 59 minutes here for Jimbo to show some sensitivity throughout the last part there.
Shocking.
We end just the way we begin. Coming up next week, we'll talk about what goes down in the trade deadlines in both the NBA and the NHL. We'll also start previewing the baseball season.
Finally.
Join us next week.
Do you smell what John Farrell is cooking?
I don't. Hopefully it's an improved team.
Oh, it will be.
See you next week.
Bye. Somebody once told me the world is
the sharpest tool in the shed. The thing.